It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan, Peter V.S. Bolland, and Brian Gildenberg, explore how brands and retailers engage consumers in an increasingly digitally driven world. And now, here are the CPG Guys. Hello and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast, where we explore the omnichannel digital journey of brands and retailers. I'm your co-host, PVSB, and when I'm not co-hosting this podcast, I serve as partnership acceleration lead at Flywheel Digital. I'm joined today by one of my fellow CPG Guys. He is the managing partner for North America of Retail Cities. He's the founder and CEO of Confluencer Commerce, and he's host of both the Gildenberg Omnicomment, which is visible on the CPG Guys LinkedIn page, and of course, CPG Guys Fast Forward podcast. Of course, I'm talking about my friend, Brian Gildenberg. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter. And I think it's ironic that when we started this, I used to put the Omnicomment, Omnicomment, and now you put the Omnicomment, Omnicomment. So,
isn't that hilarious? I know.
All our time is a flat circle, man.
For those of you who aren't aware, where as of January 2nd, Flywheel is now a wholly owned subsidiary of Omnicom Group. So, yes, that is, we have juxtaposed our positions.
Yes, and who knows? So yes, some maybe Maybe at some point I'll start liking Connecticut pizza, and that would be the ultimate transformation.
That I think there's a better chance of having turkeys learn how to fly, but we'll give it a shot.
Right. I could just start rooting for the Rockefeller family that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Either,
certainly not the Yankees.
No.
So I think we can both agree that would be it. That would be a horrible transformation.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me. Before we get to our guests, we want to help spread the word about this community we've created in the CPG Guys. Beyond sharing the podcast with your friends, you should be doing that. If you're using Apple Podcasts or Spotify as your preferred listening platform, please leave us a rating as it helps feed the algorithm that makes us more findable by CPG retail people like you looking for education and entertainment. We're very happy that the CPG Guys is part of an impressive collective of highly rated podcasts, including Brian's very own CPG Guys Fast Forward, CPG Scoop with Reese and Jennifer, and of course, the FMCG Guys with Daniel, Frain, and Christine. And finally, we're really proud of our allyship with Next Up, whose mission it is to advance the cause of women in business and promote gender equality in the workplace. Next Up has terrific educational and networking resources available. And as you may know, Sheree serves as a director of Next Up. Links to our podcast collective, our landing page on Next Up site, and of course, links to Sheree's two daughters and their social media personas and their professional entertainment pursuits. They can all be found in the digital liner notes of this episode. So, as to this week, Brian, you recently had a conversation with two people from Stratacache as part of a LinkedIn Live hosted on the CPG Guys Network. And this is about an event that they've got that is attached to the upcoming NRF Big Show. Can you talk to us about who they are and what this big event coming up is all about?
Yeah, certainly. The conversation this past Thursday with Jonathan Rosen and Kevin Carbone from Stratacache was about the What's in Store, the Future of Retail Media Networks event that is taking place a week from today, Saturday, January 13th, at the Javits Center in New York City, right before the NRF Big Show kicks off on Sunday at said Javits Center for the duration of the following week. The event itself is really an attempt to try to bring the conversation about the future of retail media networks with a really kind of a strong lens on how that's going to impact the store, hence the phrase, what's in store. For those of you not familiar with Stratacache, they are one of the leading providers of content enablement, technology, measurement, and monetization for in-store retail media networks around the world. And they do that in a variety of ways, and which you'll hear more about on the podcast to follow. And the event itself really tackles sort of three big buckets. There's a sort of a whole section around shopper experience and content. There's a section around monetization and value, and then a section around technology, measurement, and insights. I'm going to be hosting a panel conversation in there about the future of how connected TV and retail media networks and in-store retail media networks are all going to come together in the future. I'll be joined by our friends from the Trade Desk, 8451 and Meta for that conversation, and a wide range of participating companies, including Albertsons and Unilever and Jeffrey Bustos from the IAB and Andy Murray from Big Quest and the University of Arkansas. We'll have a whole bunch of different presenters there to chat about the future of retail media networks. So hopefully, in the comment section below this podcast, there'll be a link to register for the event. And we hope to see many, many of you there as we seek to explore the future of retail media networks.
Yeah, we're going to include a link in the digital liner notes of this podcast episode to the registration page for this. So if you're planning on being at NRF and you're in the New York area, please check this out. This is going to be a must-attend event as a precursor to NRF for people that are involved in retail media. I've got to tell you that what Stratacache is doing from my perspective is really widening the value that retail media brings to the equation. You know, obviously, there's a lot of excitement and talk about upper funnel offsite activity. Really, what Stratacache is doing is reaching a whole audience that's still shopping in physical stores. They may not be connected to linear television anymore, but they certainly are shopping physical, and the ability to engage with them through in-store digital platforms is really fascinating, and it provides the scale that traditional mechanisms like linear television and print advertising are no longer able to address. So it sounds like it's really going to be a great event, Brian, and for those of you who are, as I said, going to be at NRF, make sure you add the Saturday onto the agenda. You're not going to be disappointed. So with that, Brian, without further ado, turn over the rest of this episode to your conversation with Jonathan and Kevin.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the CPG Guys podcast. Today, we're doing a live episode, so no edits, no retakes, no nothing, guys. So we're operating without a net here, as they say in the entertainment world. So I am joined today by Jonathan Rosen and Kevin Carbone from Stratacash, and we're here today to talk about an event coming up on January 13th, 2024. At the Javits Center in New York, right before the NRF Big Show, called What's in Store for Retail Media Networks. This event is co-sponsored by the National Retail Federation, or NRF, and Stratacash, and should be an excellent event. And Jonathan and Kevin are going to, we're all going to have a little conversation about what that event's going to look like, why you should go. Apart from that, we'll all be there, and what some of the potential benefits are. So before we jump into the event, Jonathan, Kevin, I don't know how you want to divide and conquer on this, but certainly introduce yourselves to the audience, as well as what you do and kind of what Stratacash does as well. That'll be a good starting point, I suspect.
Sure, I'll talk about me because Kevin and I work together, and Kevin does more. I lead content and creative strategy for Stratacash. It's a big job involving harmonizing what we do in stores with technology, with the customer experience and monetization and brands. So it's kind of all these people come to the party to be in the store, and it's about providing an experience for the customer that wins for all of these parties, retailer, brand, and customer. My affiliation with this show is this is a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, in-store retail media. I work for a division of Stratacash called PRN. We focus on in-store monetization and work with a lot of different retailers to bring brands and technologies to their stores. We've been doing it for a while, 30 years actually, and you know, retail media started as something. I'm going to get to you, Kevin, in a minute. But retail media started as something that was in store. Now, of course, it means really fundamentally digital, but it's coming back to the store, and that's what this event is about. Kevin?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Let me just start a little bit about Stratacash so it's framed properly. Stratacash is probably the largest global digital signage provider and operations in Europe, Asia, North America, Latin America, and it consists of a number of divisions, each adding something unique to our service offerings for retailers and non-retailers alike. PRN is one of those divisions. I'm the CEO of PRN, and as Jonathan said, PRN focuses on in-store experience and monetization. Was acquired by Stratacash about 8 years ago. And really brought something unique to the table. And what we do at PRN and what we're going to continue to do in terms of monetization and operating retail media networks is central to what we're bringing to the table for this event associated with NRF. I'm also the CEO of Scala, which is another division. We do hardware and software for Stratacash. But again, they're closely aligned in terms of the overall services we offer to retailers.
Yeah, and you know, and I can vouch for PRN's chops in this space, having been around it for a long time. If you go back to the origin story of retail media, it wasn't everything that you see today. It was some of the early stuff that retailers were trying to do in terms of just simply putting television networks inside their stores, and PRN was a big part of that. Probably 20 years before retail media became anything that anybody was talking about to the degree that people are discussing it now. I also think it's interesting, and we'll touch on this as we get into some of the content of the day. Jonathan, I think you alluded to the fact that retail media tends to be thought of in the United States in particular as a digital first phenomenon. But obviously, you know, one of the tracks at the event is the global portrait of this, where you've got some of your friends from Threefold coming to talk about markets like the UK. And in markets like that, retail media is not a digital first phenomenon at all. Actually, in most of the rest of the world, in the non-Amazon-centric retail markets of the world, retail media is more of a store-based ecosystem and one where the store has always played a more active role in terms of how brands bring their products to life. So I think that's going to be great. So Jonathan, you started, I think, on this in terms of the why now a little bit with the for the event, but just talk a little bit about the What's in Store for Retail Media Networks sure. event that you've got put together, and a rough order of play for the day in terms of how it's going to play out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a full day, 10 sessions, actually 11, where we're really taking a curated look. It's not the one of the things we really wanted to do with this conference is to have it be completely non-branded with regards to, and all of the sessions are sessions that are, none of them are pay to play. They're all topics that we feel are critical for the evolution of this field. And we've kind of divided the concept of retail media in store into kind of three buckets. There's a monetization, obviously, is critical and how you generate revenue for the store, but probably most important and nearest to my heart is in-store experience. How do you think about retail media bringing a network into a store, and what does that look like as an experience? Monetization, as I just mentioned, is another track, and that covers off on how we frame the experience and drive revenue from it. And Kevin will talk a lot more about that. And then there's the technology and the insights track. So basically, it's those three tracks and several segments under each. Some of the really cool stuff I think we're doing that I'm most excited about. Jeffrey Bustos from IAB is going to be premiering a new white paper on in-store measurement, which is something that there's a lot of debate around. How you do it, what are best practices, how can it be done, how does that relate to privacy? On the technology front, Chris Riegel's interviewing Paul Martino from the NRF. He's a senior counsel and does a lot of lobbying on the Hill for retailers around privacy concerns. And really the fundamental concern or threat to retailers right now is loyalty programs. And potentially if that gets legislated to a large degree, that becomes really problematic because retail medias are built on data, as we know.
Yeah.
And then the third track, and I'll be really brief, another session rather that I'm super excited about is the sort of the non-US perspectives that you were talking about, just this idea of what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Asia, because it was, you know, retail media in store. There are a lot of stores that are much more digital in Europe, and what can we learn from them? Kevin can tell you more a little bit about the sort of purpose of dividing it into these tracks and kind of what we've got scheduled in the monetization track.
Yeah, the three areas that Jonathan talked about are important in that if you're, it's all about the in-store experience, right? We know over the years in our experience, we've seen retailers try and fail at a retail media network in part because, you know, back in the old days, they might just put a bunch of advertising on the screens in store and not think twice about the consumer experience. I think Andy Murray, who is our category captain on the in-store experience side, will speak very eloquently at this conference and have guests who support this, that it really is all about the in-store experience and the shopper experience. So retail media network has to complement and facilitate that shopper experience. And so we have a number of sessions where we have leading brands and retailers talking just about that. So that was a very important foundational theme within this conference. Jonathan then mentioned the technology piece. Part of why we're now here and we think it's the right time for having this event is that technology has evolved to a point where the nature of commerce and media is changing. Quentin George will have a piece, you know, one of the leaders and leading the commerce media practice at McKinsey has a panel discussion, and we'll talk about the changed nature of commerce, where now we have joined media with, or media impressions with, actual transactions and the power of first party data. So our technology sessions are full of discussion about how technology is facilitating this, these new possibilities for retail media. And then, of course, the third theme, which is monetization and value, and I'm a category captain for that one, is really all about why should retailers be doing retail media networks? Why should they see the possibility in this? Well, the answer is that it leads to the growth in long-term enterprise value. And there are a number of ways that number of sources of value that we'll talk about in the sessions that we have in that track. So it's really it was really thoughtful. We think a thoughtful approach to how we put this together, and the experts we bring in who can talk about these three areas.
Well, I think the measurement and all of those are really interesting. I think there's been a rush to quantify in this space sometimes, or a lot of questions about the quantification without, you know, Jonathan, to the point you made earlier about just without understanding what it is people are actually trying to do in the store, like what the creative actually needs to look like to be effective in this sort of ecosystem, how it should work, how we should be thinking about as a media platform and what it does. I mean, I remember, years ago, working with Unilever on some of this stuff, and they had all sorts of ideas about what they were trying to do from a media point of view at shelf with, like, you know, pretty rudimentary early on screens. And they found out that the messaging they were using was in a category. It was Axe, actually. And they found out that the messaging they were using worked great for the teenage boy who wants to use Axe. It was a lot of teenage boys getting attacked by beautiful women, but forgetting that at the shelf, that's not who's engaged in the Axe process. The teenage boy never buys Axe, their mom does. And the last thing in the world mom wants to see is that at the point of purchase. So I think there's a lot to this idea around what's the right content for the store environment that can really bring this, bring that consumer engagement to life the right way. Yeah, particularly in categories where the shopper and the consumer are different people. Yeah. And then the measurement side, and anybody who follows me knows that whenever Ben Reynolds, who's one of your colleagues on the measurement side at Stratacache, whenever Ben and I are reviewing a retail media event, wherever we are, we're always talking about the in-store measurement capability and the ability to actually get to a point where you can start to measure the store basically exactly the same way you measure a website. And that basically every sort of movement that someone takes in the store is like clickstream behavior, and it's traceable. And I think is it fair to say that we're a little bit closer to that than the average uninformed, or, you know, not uninformed, but the average listener that's not paying a lot of attention to the space? We're a little bit closer to that than people think, right? In terms of being able to tie an individual's movement through the store to their purchase data, to an identity that can then be beamed out into the broader marketing ecosystem, right?
Yeah, I think Ben will be speaking he has a panel.
He does.
With a couple of folks from LiveRamp, and that opens up it's really the concept of clean rooms and the technologies of how you measure in store. And I think Kevin, you know, Ben is the expert, and it'll be really interesting to see how he constructs the panel. But what I think the takeaway is going to be is that it's much closer to being actionable now than it ever has been.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great session, actually. Again, we've got people from LiveRamp, a couple of folks from LiveRamp, and we've got, Ben, of course, knows this inside and out. We've got Threefold that'll participate in this, but it's really being able to measure the shopper behavior in store, observing what shoppers, not only what they buy, but just as importantly, maybe more importantly, what they don't buy, and then being able to take that data and use it to either deliver more relevant messaging in store, or more importantly, to be able to take that data and combine it with online data and behavior and be able to deliver messaging and reach and target those customers when they're sitting at home in front of their TV, watching streaming TV, a streaming service, or when they're on their phone or online. So it's really powerful stuff.
Well, and that's the panel that's near and dear to my heart because that's the one I'm moderating, which is the panel on connected TV. And we're going to have some great participation there from 8451 from the Trade Desk and from Meta about how the audience ecosystem can then be matched to what's happening in store. And then basically you're getting to a point right now where, you know, for a retailer with a robust loyalty platform like an 8451, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, sort of really get granular in terms of once the connected TV media buying ecosystem catches up to where the retail world is. Because to be honest right now, the problem with all of what I'm about to say is not on the retail side in terms of its capabilities. It's on the connected TV side in terms of how connected TV works as a media buying platform right now. But eventually you're going to get to a point where I can granularly market to people based on their shopping behavior. I can serve them fairly specific and targeted content when they're sitting at home on the couch watching something to figure out people that are in the category that haven't bought yet, or people that are buying the category but not buying it at Kroger, or buying the category but not buying your brand. You're going to be able to do all this stuff and then be able to beam that content back and then measure the effectiveness all the way through on a one-to-one level. And that's where I think this all starts to get really, really cool. Particularly in a world where cookies might be going away, which of course they're probably not, because once again, Google may have decided to kick that particular can down a particular road. I'm pretty sure cookie deprecation is going to turn into the Y2K of marketing problems. It's the Y2K for this generation. So eventually that will happen by that time, everyone will have planned around it, scenario planned for it, and it'll be fine. So let's talk a little bit about, so it's a robust event. Who do you think should come apart from everybody?
Well, yeah, no, I think I'll tell you who in the class of people who, it's not really class, but the folks who are coming, the types of folks that are coming. We've got a lot of C-level, a lot of, sort of director and VP level at the retailers themselves, because I think, you know, that would probably be first and foremost a big segment of who we think should come, just because a lot of retailers understand that 75-80% of their audience is in the store, the physical store, and they want to in the US sort of tackle this idea of bringing media into the store, but it's still nascent to a lot of folks, and that's what we're really talking about. So I think retailers, analysts from the agency side, and buyers from the agency side, you know, I think brands, we've got a lot of brands coming It's really, you know, the supply side, demand side, the relationship between retailers and brands is being worked out both in the digital realm of retail media networks, and it will need to be worked out, you know, and carry over some of these new processes and ways of working together will have to take place in the store. So, and we do have a lot of content kind of revolving around that, you know, how to speak the same language and what's really working right now in terms of unifying brands and retailers. You know, the easy money is gone online retail media networks. And really, this is about the right experiences in the store that create that triple win. So anyone that's thinking about how the physical store can be better exploited or how to maximize their digital retail media network in any way, that's who should come.
Well, and I'd also put out a shout out for, because NRF is such a, you know, it's the National Retail Federation, this is the most obvious thing ever. It's such a retail centric event and has been around for years. There's a lot of the retail media world that lives in New York that's probably not aware of NRF and what it does. And it's not Cannes in June, it's New York in January, but for all that is as big a gathering of retailers globally in particular as you're going to find anywhere. And I really do think that both the content that the event is providing for the day, as well as the opportunity to just engage with people that are doing this stuff for a living on the commercial side of the business, I think is a really interesting opportunity for anyone who's New York-based that's in the retail media space, either on the retailer side or on the agency side even, as a way to just get yourself more immersed and more familiar with a lot of the issues of what's happening at a store from a store basis. Because, you know, for all the, you know, for all the joking I do about this chart, because I love Andrew Lipsman, but you know, if it took Andrew Lipsman to tell us that more people go to Walmart than go to Walmart.com, then I don't know what we were doing for 70 years. But for all that, that idea that so much more of the traffic is in store, and a cursory read of almost any retailer's financial statements will reveal that so much more the volume for them comes in store. And then from a retail point of view, the money they make on stuff they sell in stores so much higher than the money they make in e-commerce. This is going to become a business imperative for the retailers to make sure that this plays itself out. You know, because if I'm a retailer today, and if you told me I could sell $1 more in store or $2 more online, I'm not sure. It would really depend on the category, which one I would choose. Because the economics of selling online in certain categories are so much worse than the economics of selling in store, that the ability to really make this in-store piece work and come to life and make the commerce conversion piece of it come to life is incredibly important. So I think that would be a pretty big potential audience as well. If you had to project in your head, like, what are some of the key takeaways you think people are going to get out of this session? Like, if you had to kind of forecast up to the closing remarks where you'll somebody will be up there recapping this event, trying to figure out how to make sense of it all. But what do you think some of the key takeaways are going to be throughout the day? What would you want people to take away in terms of what they've learned and how they would think differently about the problem?
Kevin, I think that's you, because you will be doing just that sort of recap at the end of the day with some really luminaries in the space, Colin and Andrea from Allum. Like that, yeah. You know, so talk a little bit more about what you have in mind, how you think the recap's going to go.
Well, I think the recap will structure it where we're forward looking. I think we'll want to take what was learned, and the people the panel will have assembled will be the perfect group of people to talk about what this means going forward, and how this view toward retail media networks evolves. But I would think one of the key takeaways should be that operating and building a retail media network with an in-store focus is entirely possible, and it probably has the potential to deliver more value than people thought previously, in large part because of all the traffic that is going through the store, but just as importantly, the technology that is enabling the tracking of the behavior, the ability to take that first party data and leverage it for monetization in store and in other areas outside the store. I think that'll be hopefully one of the biggest takeaways. We'll have a very credible group of leaders, whether they're from brands or retailers or analysts in the space, demonstrating this and talking about it. So I think that's the biggest takeaway we'll want to have from this. And then just also, you know, where to turn to start moving down that path. Again, as we mentioned, retailers or those who are from Europe will probably say, hey, we've been doing that for a while in Europe, but not successfully, or maybe not as successfully as we need to do. We will have learned some things about how we can take a different sort of tack. And then those here, you know, based in North America, will learn some things about how to get on that path in store and realize some real value from it.
Yeah. And I think and that piece is also a big one. And that's where, I mean, Colin's expertise, having done this in so many different markets around the world, having seen how the in-store media componentry evolves in countries that candidly are probably a little bit ahead of where the U.S. is in terms of how to measure that. Notably markets like the UK and Australia, which I think are probably two of the markets in the world where in-store is a better understood part of the retail media ecosystem than it is here. And you've got a lot of participation, whether it's from Colin or whether it's from the Threefold team, who are real stone cold experts on the evolution of retail media in the UK, coming to sort of tackle that. And then obviously whenever you've got one of our favorite CPG guys, family members, Andrea Lay up there, you're doing something right. So, that works out well as well. So as we kind of bring this, this live session to an end here, you don't want to go too much beyond the half hour point, with one of these, but, what do you, if you think throughout the 24 and 25, and I had to ask you individually, what do you think is in store for retail media networks? What do you think some of the biggest changes are going to be as we think about these retail media networks over the next couple of years? What are some of the major transitions, and how would you expect everybody to be treating these differently over the next 12 to 18 months?
Kevin?
Well, it's a whole new ball game. I mean, I think that again with the technology that's available and the ability to we're so close, as you said, to measuring in store, being able to measure behavior. I think that retailers are going to take in 24, especially take a very fundamental granular look at how they implement this in across their chains and in their stores. We're already seeing that. We're already seeing large retailers either issue RFPs or engage us and others in conversations about how they actually pilot in 24 and with an eye toward going to full rollout in 2025. So yeah, I think we'll see a lot of pilots in 2024 that attempt to, that put retail media networks in place where you can monetize, test that monetization, test the measurement of the in-store behavior, and with an eye toward doing full rollouts in 2025. The activity, I think, is just going to continue to pick up throughout the year.
Yeah, it is a 2 to 3 year cycle. And it's like this is probably the biggest cycle. It's the biggest cycle we've ever seen. And it's really simple. The store is understood to be the final frontier, and it's doable. But you do have to test and learn. And to Kevin's point, and what Chris Riegel, CEO of Stratacash, says, he calls it the sentient store, which I kind of love that phrase. But it's just all of these different technologies are coming in 23, 24, 25, right? That shelf edge and new electronic shelf labels and new labeling standards that allow products to be tracked down to the product level, which becomes another data source. So some of these technologies seem like they're not related to retail media, but what's kind of cool is that they need to converge because they all are converging in this physical space, the store. And so we're seeing a lot more collaboration between silos that traditionally haven't collaborated, understanding that store planning is so super central to this. Store ops is super central to this. And I think retailers are at that point where they understand they kind of need to move as one machine.
Well, and for people that haven't seen Andy Murray's work that he's going to present with the University of Arkansas team, talks a lot about, from a management point of view, the silos that need to come down in order for on the retailer side to reconcile the operations team, the merchandising team, and the media monetization teams. And on the brand side, the commercial teams that sell into the retailer that historically have owned and owned and influenced the physical space in the store, as well as now the media input there. Your conversation about the importance of the user experience is critical from a shopper and a consumer point of view, but there's also got to be a commercial user experience as well that drives a return on that space, because that space has just probably been reallocated from something that was doing more of a traditional merchandising role, and getting that balance right, I think, is going to be incredibly important. So why don't we wrap this up, and you guys want to take a quick recap as to where people can go to get more info on all this?
Yeah, sure. If you go to the NRF Big Show site, you'll scroll down just like a quarter of the page, and you'll see what's in store for Retail Media Networks, and there'll be a button there and you can go right in. So it's, I think the website is NRF, I've got it up right here, nrfbigshow.nrf.com. That's nrfbigshow.nrf.com. You scroll down just past Drew Barrymore and Magic Johnson, and you'll see what's in store for Retail Media Networks. And there's a Learn More tab, and that'll set you on the journey towards attending the show. So it's pretty straightforward.
Awesome. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Thanks to Jonathan and to Kevin for taking time out of a busy day to share a perspective on this fantastic event coming up on January 13th. And for the CPG guys, this is Brian Gildenberg. Thanks, as always, to our 27,000 listeners, our 27,000 followers on LinkedIn. And there'll be more details for those of you that are listening. This is a podcast. There'll be details and a URL in the liner notes for the episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.